Dr. Michael McGuire is conducting an odor analysis panels to determine at what levels crude MCHM can be smelled in water. Results released Monday from an expert panel put that number at 0.15 parts per billion. To put that result in a bit of perspective, consider that testing conducted by the National Guard could detect levels of the chemical down to 2 parts per billion, meaning the human nose has the ability to smell crude MCHM better than analytical testing methods currently allow.
It's pretty clear from some of the sampling and some of the anecdotal information that all of the water that got into the distribution system doesn't appear to be flushed out of the system or out of people's houses. And so people are still smelling water that was associated with the original chemical spill in the aftermath.
Dr. McGuire noted that while crude MCHM is no longer being introduced into West Virginia American Water's intake, there's little doubt the chemical is still lingering throughout the distribution system.
People, as I've noted, can smell this compound at very, very low levels. And so if they have not flushed out their houses, their housing premise, plumbing systems, if there are any dead zones in the distribution containing this old water, people will still be able to smell it. And so that's why it's obviously essential that a flushing program be conducted and be conducted thoroughly.
While McGuire is handling odor analysis for crude MCHM, Dr. Craig Adams of Utah State University's Water Research Laboratory has conducted a literature review of toxicological studies on the chemical. When asked about whether current data would or should allow for EPA regulation in regards to drinking water quality, Adams responded with the following.
With respect to the amount of data that was available for MCHM and the PPH and DIPPH, it's totally much, much less than would be available for a compound that they're making a regulatory determination. And the reason for that, I believe, is because these compounds would not commonly be expected to be found in drinking water.
Based on Adams's literature review, another expert panel will investigate whether the data available on the chemical was sufficient in the CDC's determination that the water was safe for use at levels of crude MCHM below 1 part per million. He also says exposure to the chemical in other ways, either by contact with skin or breathing, also needs to be considered.
Dermal exposure and inhalation exposure are two potentially important routes for any contaminant, as well as ingestion through drinking water and, frankly, food and so on. So they're important routes to consider. And the expert panel, this will be one of that we'll meet in late March and early April. This will be one of the key things that they will be considering, I believe.
As for the relationship between the black licorice odor of crude MCHM and potential health effects for those exposed to the chemical, Dr. McGuire is careful not to link the two quite yet.
There's not a direct relationship between, of course, odor and toxicity. For some compounds, you can smell it before it's bad for you, and for other compounds, it's the reverse. In this case, we have an early warning system of the human nose to be able to detect when MCHM, the crude MCHM, is present in the water.
Researchers involved in the WVTAP project plan to convene next week in Charleston to release in-home testing results from 10 homes sampled across the region by Dr. Andrew Welton of the University of South Alabama, a lead researcher on the project. For West Virginia Public Radio, I'm Dave Mistich in Charleston.